that, everybody. Steve Gill along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Charlie Long, getting you more info on Saints training camp. The black and gold back on the practice field today. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert's notebook of today's camp brought to you by Rouse's Market, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. Looking to break down some of the highlights from today in Cajun Cannon. One of the biggest things that stood out to me, what a shortened session. I think it was only like an hour and 15 minutes we were out there.
You know, but I heard they were maybe 20 minutes inside, and then they came outside.
Right.
So a little longer practice, but it's still too short.
Kellen Moore did say in the post-game press conference, today and tomorrow will be the shortest practices of training camp as they go through this ramp-up period.
Ramp up.
Which I laughed because you told me right off the bat, it's like, well, we'd be a first day like this, and then the next day you guys were in pads.
Well, you kind of go like maybe the first day like this, then you put in the shoulder pads, then you're in pads forever. And then
forever.
Then you just scrimmaging. But again, as long as the team wins, that's all that counts. But one of the days, I don't care how hot it is. Now, this is the thing. One of the most discouraging things when the heat index, remember in Hammond, when it's 110, 115, it's like, okay, you can do anything for like, even, you know, always looked at, I don't care how cold it is or how hot it is. You can do anything for 3 or 4 hours. It's like a football game. Okay, like at 12 noon kickoff, by 3:15 it's over. It's not like you're in the trenches and all of a sudden the Battle of the Bulge and the Germans have come, World War II, and we stuck it surrounded like for 2 weeks or whatever, and then you're having the fight, and then you can't doze off because you might get killed. Well, you're not in that situation. And now, I mean, one of the most discouraging things, now from a football perspective, was when, man, you gave it your all that morning, and you dog-ass tired. And it was so hot that I lost 15 pounds in a practice. And then you try to rehydrate, drink, and eat. Maybe you can get a quick nap because it's so hot.
Time to report again.
Not the next day. You got to go later again that afternoon or that night. I remember Strawberry Stadium in Hammond, where the air was so thick, you can cut it with a knife, and there's the humidity in the air.
What was crazy, too, is Schlereth brought up in our interview with him the fact that it seems like there were less injuries then.
Yes, maybe we weren't as talented. I don't know. The skill set and how fast and all things are. But, it seemed like they were going live, and the linemen are banging up against each other. And it seems like you had less injuries, and now you get more linemen even getting hurt, not even skilled people, and they don't even learn to practice the position. How is the offensive lineman going to get better at run blocking or run defense if you're not going live? Now, to break it down in modern-day terms, I remember we had the Green Bar in West Virginia. All of a sudden, Sean Payton wants to make us tougher and do a little bit, so we go 12 live goal line plays. You remember what happened? I think Zach Shreve broke Sheldon Rankin's ankle. You remember, that was like the third play. We couldn't even run 12 plays. I think we ran like 5 or 6 goal line plays, and then people were just getting hurt because they're going live. And so in the modern day, you don't really see them tackling or taking anybody to the ground. No one. We don't want to take Alvin Kamara to the ground. We don't want to do any of that. Kendrick Miller, no, don't touch him. He could just be running, and he's hurt. But the point being is that you need these guys available, but how can they get better if they're not practicing the game of football, how it's actually played in a game? But it's a catch-22 because, remember I told you in the old days, like, players would play hurt. Now if they hurt and they get paid so much money, it's like, and their agent might be telling them, well, if you're not 100% out there, you don't need to be going out there where the, you know, if you went 100%, but it wasn't done broke, if you wouldn't play, they would just get somebody else. But so it's a different day and age. But the bottom line is that I know what Kellen Moore is going to want to do to help out the young quarterbacks. You got to be able to run the ball.
Amen.
You have to be able to utilize play action and all that. And
we know Alvin can do that, but who's going to be the dudes behind him?
Yes, who's going to be the dudes behind him? And the other thing, it's not going to change because look. Look how the running back has come back in the vogue. Oh, yeah, running game. You can't just throw the ball all around, be footloose and fancy free. Look how the Eagles won and what they did to run the ball in the running back position. How it's cyclical, how it comes back around.
Yeah.
how, oh, it's like, we can get a running back. You still can get a running back third or fourth round. Look where we got Devin Neal. I think he contributed at a high level at the University of Kansas. But how, it still goes back to, I'm glad you can all make big plays and all that. Who's more recognized, more in the Cincinnati Bengals than Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins? They didn't even make the playoffs. What? They had the number one sack getter, Trey Hendrickson.
And then Ja'Marr Chase won the triple crown in receiving.
And never, is that the first time I think it's ever happened? Or a long time since that's happened?
Right, pretty wild. And
so,
nothing.
I'm just telling you, controlling the tempo of the game, it still goes back to, you know where the Saints won't have a chance to win six, seven games? If they can't stop the run like they couldn't stop it last year.
Oh, it's so abysmal, Bobby.
Whether
you name a running back, they would have a career game.
Yes, and you'd be looking at, who's this guy who's running all over? What was the Raiders guy, was it?
Amir Abdullah. I'll never forget that one.
Yeah, Steve's telling me, Bobby, who
like, is this?
He's like, gashing us.
Yeah.
Gash. And so all I know is that Alvin Kamara by committee, that's going to help us be in games. Now you got to be plus
right,
one,
keep
plus
him
two.
Fresh.
And all that. Win that turnover margin. But can you run the ball and can you stop the run? I can tell you what, I think we'll be able to run the ball. I think our offensive line's going to come around. But I got to wait and see, can we stop the run? If we can't stop the run, no, we'd be lucky to win five games.
Looking at your notebook, I'm going to hit them with the defense first since you're kind of talking about that there. I thought that there was pretty good pressure coming on the quarterbacks today. It seemed like they were – I know we're not in a huge – you know, the pads are on our right now, so it's not really that intense. But it seemed like they were definitely some kind of push. They were definitely in their faces.
Yeah, but I'm going to wait till next week to
sure,
really cover
sure.
it up. Because then who's winning? Offensive defensive line.
Right.
Because then, you know, you know what's crazy too? Okay, Monday they're going to be in full pads. And the lactic acid and all that, it's amazing. I remember talking to Steve Corder and all, like Stan Brock and all, the linemen and all, how they constantly pounding on one another. And you might think, oh, that next day they're going to feel like crap. You know when you feel like crap? On that Wednesday. Now, they're only doing two practices, but can you imagine four? Like Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, and all of a sudden Wednesday, you feel like, man, I feel like a cripple. I feel like an old man. I'm like trying to move right now. I feel like crap. Then you're trying to get that lactic acid out, the cold tub. You get an ice tub, just submerge your body to try and revive it, to come back and block. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm not going to comment on who's winning. Now you can have right hand placement, your footwork and all that. Right now, but truly, when you're coming off the ball like Trevor Penning, now you're at guard. Let me see us be able to run right behind you and whoever's in front. You're not winning now and then. You're winning all the time. So we could trust to run behind you. And I'm not saying you got to gas like 8-10 yards. I'm talking about a good solid run. We ran behind you. Boy, that was a 4.5-yard gain. Stuff like that. And you going forward, you setting the tone. You're not getting knocked back.
Yeah, we don't want to be giving up those 4.5 yards per game, though. What was 4.9 last year we ended up with?
Yeah. Listen, and I'm not saying we got to be amongst the best. Like, you're giving up, like, 2.8, 3.2 or something. No, but you can't be giving up, like...
3.5, please.
Yeah. Or, you know, 3.8, you know, whatever. You know, I think it makes a big difference, right? 3.8
no, right.
And 4.8, that's like night and day.
Absolutely.
It's like, why would they even pass the ball? We can't stop the run. So first things first, under Coach Staley, we got to be able to stop the run. Or if we don't, it could be a long season.
One of those alpha dogs on the Saints defense, DeMario Davis, the Cajun Cannon, and I got to talk to him after practice today. We'll hear that interview when we get back after the break. Stay tuned here on WWL Saints Radio.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Bobby Hebert, hanging out with Saints linebacker DeMario Davis. First day of training camp in the books. Man, you looking good. How you feeling heading into year 14?
Man, I feel awesome, man, to be year 14, feeling this good. I'm so grateful to be in this position, grateful to God that he has given me this platform and he still allows me to stay sharp and stay crisp, ahead of the curve in terms of being able to fly around on the field, be able to understand what ways offenses are trying to attack me, and I'm just grateful. So a phenomenal first day. I couldn't ask for anything better.
Double D, what's the biggest challenge with all your experience? Because you've run the 4-3 concept for so long. I know you started out with the Jets. Mm-hmm. Y'all went 3-4.
Yep.
And maybe a two-part question. How do you answer the critics when they say, oh, well, DeMario's a 4-3 guy, not 3-4. Look how well he did with the Saints, but not so much with the Jets. Is that maybe a lack of experience or what? But you just said different assignments that you asked to do, and, you know, a 3-4 versus 4-3.
Well, actually, I was a 3-4 when I came back to one of the best seasons.
In Cleveland?
No, with Ty Bowles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ty Bowles. When I came back in 2017, we were running a 3-4. Okay. And so I think the first 4 years of my career, I really struggled because I was learning the NFL. And I came from the Sun Belt where it was predominantly coverage, and I was trying to learn the run game. And the game was actually changing in the midst. So I was trying to learn how to stop power and two-back runs like what the Patriots were running, and I hadn't really ever played that Miami and Buffalo, and so I was trying to learn a different game and how to get good at that, but the game was changing to more of a spread at the same time, and so it took me a little time to find my way. But by the time I left Cleveland and was coming back, I think the light bulb had went off, and I was able to come in the New York Jets in 2017, and I had probably statistically one of my best seasons, top two or three. And that's how I ended up with the Jets. When I came out, I was number one free agent linebacker. And so I think it – so I played in the 3-4 system. And honestly, I think I can play both at a high level. Which one I'm better at is – I think it depends on the year because I can commit myself fully to whatever I'm in.
It could it depend on the guys up front? I mean, how you can run sideline to sideline, you run fits and all?
All of it goes hand in hand. It's the guys that are around you. The front plays a big part, especially in how effective you are collectively as a run. The coach being able to understand you as a player and put you in the best situation. I think what Staley is giving me a chance to do is something that I haven't done in my career, which is truly spend a lot of time in vision on the quarterback. I think that's the biggest difference is as a backer, I'm not matching running backs and tight ends as much as I'm playing vision on the quarterback, which is new. And I think being able to do it and experience, that's probably where is what I'm best at. I just never really was allowed to do it. And he understands how to pressure and how to get me one-on-one with the backs and stuff like that. And I think, you know, I am one of the better pressure backers in the league.
Yeah, and as far as pressure, giving you opportunities to sack the quarterback, I mean, who doesn't love – to do that. But as far as like coverage and assignment, is it more like zone concepts where you are and what zone you are? And you say like, not freelancing, but keeping your eye on the quarterback. But doesn't it come that case in point sometimes any zone type coverage, you got a clock in your head. I know the quarterback does where the ball's coming out. And then you always, then who's in your zone? Then you match up like it's man.
Absolutely. It's all zone match. It's not true zone. And I think Staley gets it and teaches it and how much the pressure in the zone goes hand in hand. And so if I'm dropping in the zone and I can take away the quarterback's read, you know, his first read or his second read, by that time the rush should have been there and got there. And I think we live in a game, especially with a lot of the younger quarterbacks, they know how to go to their first read and second read very effectively. And it's one-on-one matchups. And if it's nobody in those windows, it's an easy throw. And I think that's what Staley gets is how to take away those first and second windows. And I think I could be one of the best at doing that. And so that's what I'm really excited about.
So what, like as far as your sidekick, you know, 3-4 versus 4-3, where do you think Werner's at right now? I know you have a whole linebacking room, but you're the top dog. You know, the running back room is Alvin Kamara. Linebacker room is DeMario Davis. Yeah. So how do you look at that linebacking room and where Pete Werner's at right now?
It's constant progression. I think, number one, Pete's best thing is his strength and his instincts. And when he continues to lean on those, he's going to play at a very high level. And so I think he's going to be able to adapt to the system because of how smart he is. And I think it's going to be able to lock something in him to be learn how to be more of a vision, because all he's had been asked to do is be more of a match defender. And so if he learns how to, use his eyes and trust what he sees and go and release himself, he has the potential to be one of those dominant linebackers that instincts really show up on tape.
Now, DeMario, you mentioned, boy, look at your career now coming out of the Sun Belt. I remember playing against Arkansas State in Jonesboro. They were the Indians then. And now, were they the Red Wolves when you played?
We started as the Indians.
We became the Red Wolves.
Yeah, we became the Red Wolves while I was there. I was one of the last Indians.
The last Indians became the Red Wolves. So, you know, I went to Northwestern State in Natchitoches.
Yeah.
We were the Demons. So I remember going up to Jonesboro. So it has to be rewarding when you think where you've come from, you know, from Mississippi to Jonesboro, Arkansas, Arkansas State, and the career you've had. I know you want to put more skins in the wall, but that has to be very satisfying.
Yeah, man, it's not even just about skins on the wall at this point. I spent a lot of time reflecting. I was in D.C. for the 4th of July, and then we left and we went to Paris. And over that time, I was just reflecting, man, that the game of football has brought me so far. And it's this game around this little old pigskin and just being able to be halfway decent at it has allowed me to go from the country streets of Mississippi through the cornfields of Arkansas to New York, to Cleveland, now, you know, here and around the world, all the way in Paris because of this game of football. So I am.
You've truly been blessed.
Yeah, yeah, man. I'm more than blessed, man. And I can't do anything but bask in it. And the only way that I can show that I'm grateful is to continue to put my best forward.
Talking to Saints linebacker DeMario Davis here on WWO. You mentioned that trip to Paris. What was that like hanging out representing the Florida League?
Oh, man, it's incredible, man. I want our entire city to go there. And I feel like, you know, United American, whichever one got the flight, needs to have a direct flight from New Orleans to Paris because a game is going to be happening there soon. And I believe our Saints fans are going to love it over there because it's so much like here. The people are just like here. It's a lot of pride in their city, very relational, care about people.
So were you greeting people and they're like, bonjour, parlez-vous français?
Yeah, bonjour.
Bon oui, bonsoir.
Merci beaucoup. Yeah, c'est bon. Enchanté. It was all those. Yeah.
So did you get an opportunity to go to Louvre, the
went
museum?
Went to the Louvre, went to Notre Dame.
The cathedral, yeah.
Went to the cathedral. Yeah, it was, we went to PSG. We got a chance to see a lot.
It's a pretty nice stadium.
Oh, yeah, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So, you know, did you ever have to, and they look at you, what do you do for a living? And you figure it out. And I remember traveling around the world. Like I just went to Istanbul and Athens, and they're like, "What do you do for a living?" I say, "Well, I played professional football," and they kind of look at you. You're kind of big for a football player because they think it's soccer.
Yeah, and then
I just say, "No, a pro American football," and they go, "Oh, with the pads."
That's it. We're changing that. That's what we're changing. We're changing that for the world, and it's incredible. And that they getting it, like that they starting to understand American football in that way, because when you picking up a football, they actually think you're playing rugby. And so that's the next game that they associated to it. So it's like getting them to make sure that they understand the game. But that's what I loved about the people over there, because they kind of standoffish. But then when they realize you're genuine and you care and that you're just a real person, that you want to connect and you're not there just showing up with all this bravado and all this type of stuff, man, they just get open arms and they show you so much hospitality and love and welcoming. And I was just like, man, this is incredible. But that's the same type of experience I feel like that we receive here. It's a city that if you love it, it's going to love you back. And that's how it is over there.
When you think about it, DeMario, think about this. New Orleans is the most European city in the United States.
Mm.
And then you look in New Orleans, Paris is just the French connection.
Yes, French connection. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because Louisiana was a French colony.
Right.
And
looking in, my ancestors came from the central western part of France.
Yeah.
And they came into Nova Scotia, Acadie, in the 17th century. Yeah, yeah. So when you look back, and so I even look at, and
they love you
know,
there.
and Hébert, they know how to pronounce Hébert. Then even going to southern France in Provence, go to the vineyards. We got Napa Valley, you go to Provence, you know, they got Tuscan Italy,
but
you won't have a bad time in
France. That's why we got to get our game over there, because nobody will do it overseas like the Saints fans
Amen.
Will. And it's going to be like a homecoming.
Yeah.
And I think like when that game happens there, the black and gold going to be up and down the streets. Doing second line in those Paris streets is going to be something great.
Oh, they'll be joining in. And, I don't know why it took so long. It just seems common sense. I told Greg Benz with us, I go, man, this should have happened a long time ago. But finally it's happening.
Yes. Yeah.
Now it's finally happening.
Yeah. Because shout out to Miss B.
Miss Gail.
She awesome. Put the bid in. She said, I want France, and locked it up.
And then how was Monaco?
Oh, she went to Monaco. We didn't get a chance to go. I didn't get a chance to go. Yeah, but she said it was amazing.
They have the Formula One race in Monaco?
Yeah.
Oh, Grand Prix? There's so much to do. And look, I look at that Florida Lee on the side of the helmet. And you look old school France, they got the Florida Lee in the flag before the French Revolution. No, we are so French, we don't even realize it.
Yeah, bro, we connected. you literally don't realize you stand in another country until you really think about it, because it's so much similar. It's so similar. And what I think is, like, in terms of the NFL, the biggest opportunity is in terms of the NFL, the Saints is a small market. Yeah. But when it becomes international, Saints will be one of the dominant markets to be.
Right. We're international.
Who that worldwide, baby?
A little bit away from football. What do you think about the new helmets, the white helmets coming out for the team? And also, you guys, I saw, got gold jerseys too this year.
Yeah, we got options, man. That's what you want. You want options, man.
Fresh look.
Yeah, the fans
will love those options if you win in them.
That's it. You want options, man. But it go back to what Deion said, what Prime said. Look good, feel good, play good. You got to look good to feel good. Yeah, you got to feel good to play good.
Yeah. Saints linebacker DeMarro Davis, thanks so much for joining us, man.
You guys, y'all be blessed.
All right,
always some fun.
Great day of camp for the first day, Cajun Cannon, and great guy to talk to on the first day, DeMarro Davis. Man, year 14 for him, and looking good. Hopefully, he can stay at that elite level, because you know you look at guys in this that have been playing for so long right now, and it just doesn't feel like DeMario's hit that wall.
No, I still think he has a lot left in the tank. I would say okay, out of these three. Okay, Alvin Kamara, DeMarro Davis, Cam Jordan. How would you rate who has the most left in the tank?
I still think AK's got a lot left.
I would say AK 1, DeMarro Davis 2, and Cam Jordan 3.
I think that's fair.
So, Cam, don't get mad at me.
Right.
Because I still think you have something left in the tank. But I still think they can all compete at a high level and have success. And to me, DeMarro Davis is still a tackling machine. When he's not a tackling machine, or... Boy, look, we gave up, we won before last stopping the run. Yeah, because the defensive line's getting their ass kicked. I think even with Pete Werner, we have the right linebackers. We got to win up front. They got to occupy the blockers so the linebackers can roam sideline to sideline. No, DeMarro Davis is going to, he'll knock a snot bubble. And I think with Coach Staley, what you're going to see more also is utilizing him. I think watch this year. I don't know, they probably could bet on this. The over and under sacks. I think they'll utilize him more as a pass rusher. If you look, he had only 2 sacks last season after 13 in the 2 years prior.
Right.
So I don't think he was utilized enough rushing the passer to get sacks. So I could see Coach Staley utilizing DeMarro Davis, because he's not just putting a QB pressure, or quarterback hurry, quarterback hit. No, he's actually sacking the quarterback. I think Alante Taylor can sack the quarterback. Who do we need to sack the quarterback more and not just get quarterback hurries and pressures?
Chase Young.
Yes.
He got paid.
Yes. Finish. You look like Tarzan.
He sure
and
does.
We need you to play like Tarzan. Not play like Jane. Because he's a physical specimen. We need Chase Young to finish and get those double-digit sacks. We don't need, like, that's good. We don't need Brian Brazee to be like, oh, like he's one of the sack getters. We need, like, a couple of DNs in double digits getting sacked. They need truly affecting the opposing quarterback. And see, when we come back, I want to elaborate a little more about double DN, that linebacking core,
sure,
where I think they're going to fit in to help this team. I'm telling you, watch out for the dark horse. And Pete Werner better have his A game, because watch out for Danny Stutzman.
Uh-oh.
I'm telling you, I don't think he's a redneck, but I like that Oklahoma boy. He seems like a guy that played for the Oklahoma Sooners.
Right.
Who wants to knock the crap out of you. I'm a Danny Stutzman fan. Looks the part. 6'3", around 235, 240. So I'm excited to see what he can bring to the table.
We'll get more into the Cajun Cannons training camp notebook, brought to you by Rouse's Market, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started right after this on Sports Talk after the break here on WWL. Welcome back into our Sports Talk Training Camp Edition, folks. First practice of camp today was glorious outside. A nice cloud cover, not too hot. Rouse's Market celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. The sponsor of the Cannons Training Camp Notebook. And, Bobby, I know you wanted to talk about a little bit about the linebacker position since we just heard from DeMario Davis.
Yeah, and then look at what's going to come about in the preseason or when they're in full pads next week. I think there's going to be a lot of competition. When you look at Pete Werner, where he's at right now, I think he's been very serviceable, but he needs to build upon what he's done. I think they need more out of him this upcoming season. Look, in the four seasons, he's produced. He's only had one pick, one interception, two forced fumbles, and a half a sack. He still has a nose for the football, but I just think he has to get better. And there's nothing wrong with competition. But you want it to be a game changer, not just a serviceable individual. So it'll be interesting. He was playing ahead of Zach Bond. I don't know, Saints. Zach Bond was an outstanding special teams player, but then look, all of a sudden, he's all pro. And then he's up for Defensive Player of the Year.
Vic Fangio unlocked the beast.
But who runs a Vic Fangio defense?
Who could that be?
Coach Staley. So you look at Coach Staley, what they want to do, and that being the Saints, and that's Staley, one of Staley's mentors, that being Vic Fangio. So I think it's a good sample size what you're going to see, the scheme and Pete Werner. Can you take advantage of this? But I'm interested to see what's going to come about, the depth at linebacker.
Yeah.
Because when you do have injuries, who could step up? I think you're going to see a lot of this in the preseason, especially, August 10th, the Chargers game and limited preseason as far as the actual games. And then when they end pads, you got to be a thumper. You got to be in position. You could beat the blocker, and then you're not taking the running back to the ground, but you still got to be in position to, thump him. Boom, you hit him. You're not taking him to the ground and make sure you're in position to make the tackle. So I'm going to be looking at the depth at linebacker. They still have a lot to prove, and they've been outstanding on special teams, but more as a linebacker on defense, not just a special teams player. So before I get to Danny Stutzman, the rookie we drafted at Oklahoma, and he's coming off a knee injury, Nephi Sewell.
Right.
That's a good genetics there. I mean, top five tackle, that's his brother, right, with the Lions?
Penny Sewell, right.
Yeah, Penny Sewell. So I kind of like Nephi because he knows what it is to be tough and play football. Another one from Appalachian State, a tackling machine, DeMarco Jackson. Well, you're going to see those guys playing in the preseason. DeMar Davis, they know what they can do. They're not going to see them.
Right.
Jalen Ford from Texas.
That's a guy I'm very interested in.
Okay, even when he was hurt. Well, what is Jalen Ford going to do?
Yeah.
And then you throw in Danny Stutzman, see what he can do. So it's going to be a lot of competition to providing that depth. And maybe if Pete Werner, you got to step up or somebody might end up beating you out. So I'm looking at that competition coming around. You look at DeMario, he's 36 now, entering his final year of his contract. And, Pete Werner, it doesn't matter. They compensated him last year. You remember? They signed him 3 years to $22.5 million contract extension last season. But you know what's guaranteed? No, he's going to have to produce to be the guy, I think, because it's not like, oh, for sure he's going to be in there. No, he's in there if he continues to produce, even though he's well compensated. But I'm looking at the depth at linebacker. Who's going to provide that they could trust? And these padded practices and then the preseason games, you can see a lot of Nephi Sewell, DeMarco Jackson, Jalen Ford, even Stallbird, Powell, all of those cats. Who's making tackles and giving the opportunity that the coaches could trust?
That was a look at the Cannons notes on linebacker in the training camp notebook brought to you by Rouse's Market, celebrating 65 years, and just getting started, taking a break on Sports Talk. We'll be back to close things out right after this on WWL. Closing out this edition of Sports Talk, the first day of training camp in the books for the Black and Gold. Rehashing real quick some stuff about the quarterbacks, Cajun Cannon. Rough start for Tyler Shuck. Didn't get the first team reps today, but he will. They're going to be rotating this throughout camp. Going to be getting some first team action tomorrow. We'll see if he can hopefully bounce back and have a much better showing.
Yeah, you want to bounce back, and like Coach Kellen Moore said, they will have interceptions, and you got to one snap it clear. Forget that. You throw a touchdown. So what? One snap it clear.
Just don't want to see him run around like a chicken with his head off, though.
No, if you're doing pass skeleton with no rush, 7-on-7, you can't be double clutching. How about the ball coming out on time? And you know, you want to see like a Silver Spencer Rattler. This is simple play, nothing to write home about. But the type throws Rattler had to Juwan Johnson, simple out route like plus 12, or Chris Olave over the middle like plus 15, those type plays.
Cajun Cannon, that's a wrap on today's edition of Sports Talk. Say goodnight to the Houdat Nation.
All right, bon nuit les gens. Good night, people. Houdat, go Saints.